Today's daf is Nida daf Mem Dalid. We are holding on daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of something. The Mishnah had said at the very beginning of the parak that Shichva Zera is Metami B'Kol Shu, that if a man has Shichva Zera emerge from his body, it's only once it's Yotze from his body, it's Metami even in the tiniest amounts. Rabbi Chanilai Mishum, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon was Mechadesh, that's only when he's Roa Shichva Zera, when it comes out of his body. But if someone touches Shichva Zera, well then it's Tumas Maga, and therefore it follows the normal rules of Tumas Maga, like you have by a sheretz, where it's only mitame bika adasha. It's only if you touch an adasha, lentil-sized piece of shichva zera, only then is it going to be mitame. The Gemara questioned that. Is that really true? Should it be mitame bika adasha? Should it be mitame bikol shu? So again, there's no machlokas when he's roa shichva zera, then it's for sure only mitame bikol shu. That's beferish in the Mishnah. The whole machlokas is when one is no geya shichva zera. Is it mitame bikol shu or is it mitame only bika adasha? So on the fourth wide line, Mem Gimlon Beis, Amar Papa Katanayim. So Papa says this is actually a machlokas tanayim. Minayim l'rabos no geya b'shichva zera. How do I know that there even is tuma when one touches shichva zera? Tamalomar o ish, because the pasuk says o ish upligi tenoi bialma. Where does the pasuk say o ish? It says that by sheretz, by nogea b'sheretz, right? The pasuk is o ish asher yiga b'kol sheretz asher yitma. So we learn it from a pasuk about touching a sheretz. That's where we learn that one who touches shichva zera is tame. So says the Gemara, upligi tanoi bialma. There's a general machlokas, a shas machlokas that tanoim always argue about. Whenever you derive one halacha from a different place, di ikadamri don mino mina, vikadamri don. Some say that when you derive from somewhere else, you take the whole, all of the details from the place that you're deriving the halacha from. And others say, no, you take the basic din from the place you're deriving the halacha from, but the details should be applied locally from where the normal rules of where you're applying the halacha to. So the man, don mino mina, if you're learning don mino mina, that you learn it straight out, everything with all the details from sheretz. So mas sheretz b'negiyav shechvazer b'negiyah. Not only do we have the ikur din, that just like sheretz is metame b'maga, so too shichva zera is metame b'maga, umina, but we actually apply some of the details. Mas sheretz b'kadosha, av shichva zera b'kadosha. Just like the shear of sheretz that's metame b'maga is a nadasha size, so too shichva zera, the shear, is going to be the size of an nadasha. But if you say don mina vuki basra, which again means that we learn the etzem adin from somewhere else, but the details we're going to keep local, we're not going to learn from that other place, so then we can learn the din from sheretz, ma sheretz b'negiyah, av shichva zera b'negiyah. The basic din that there is tumas maga, that we'll learn from sheretz, but v'uki ba'asra, in terms of the details and what the shear is going to be, that we're going to keep local to shichva zera. Ma shichva zera, what do we know about whenever shichva zera is metame? Well, we know l'roa b'mashahu. We know that when it comes out of a person's body, it's metame b'mashahu. Saf l'nogea b'mashahu. Therefore, when one is nogea shichva zera, it's going to be b'mashahu as well. So this is the general machlokas tanaim that we have throughout all of Shas, and this is just another application of it. So Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Nassan Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breid Rav Nassan said to Rav Papa, Mi Maidime O Ish Desheretz Karmabile. He says, I understand where you're going with this, but I understand where you're coming from, rather. I understand that you have this machlokas tanaim about domino mino, domino vuki basra, but that's assuming that the O Ish that we use to derive Tumas Mag of Shichva Zera is by Sheretz. It says O Ish in the Torah several times. Dilma may O Ish Asher Teitzi Mimenu Shichva Zera Kamar Bilei. Maybe we're actually deriving it from the actual Tumas Shichva Zera, from Tumas Roa Shichva Zera. It says O Ish over there as well. So maybe we're learning the fact that Shichva Zera is Metame B'Maga from Shichva Zera, which is Metame B'Roa. Udukuliyama don mina omina. And then, he doesn't mean to say there's no Machlok Tanaim. Of course there's a Machlok Tanaim in all of Shas. But over here, there's nothing else. There is no Ukiva Asra. There's no somewhere else. It's all from right here. It's all from within the world of Shichva Zera. So you would have to be don mina omina in this case. So Shailinu Lutanai, Ika Tatani Krav Papa, Vika Tatani Kravuna Breid Rav Nasa. So they asked the experts in Tanaic literature, and those who who learn braisas very well, which O-ish is this referring to? Is it like Rav Papa said, that it's referring to the O-ish of Sheretz, or is it like Rav Huna Rav Nassan, that it's the O-ish of Roa Shechvazera? And the Gemara said, yes, some said one way, some said the other way, and there was no clear conclusion about who is correct. Now the Rambam paskins in Shara Vos HaTuma, Perkei Alocha Aleph, that only when one is Nogea B'Ka'adosha size of Shechvazera, he's Tameh. So the Rambam paskins, clearly it's only when one is Bikadasha. So that is like Rav Papa, right? That Rav Papa's understanding, if you hold like the Shita of Don Mina Umina, that's what the Rambam's paskening like, that we're learning it out from Sheretz, and we learn even the details out from Sheretz. The Shir of the Tumah Bikadasha is also learned out from Sheretz. So the Achronim just ask Akasha and the Rambam, Chaste David, ask the Kasha, why does the Rambam change his Pesach over here from everywhere else we have this Machlokas of Don Mina Umina versus Domina Vuki Basra? Everywhere else the Rambam always paskins Domina Vuki Basra, and Dafka over here, all of a sudden the Rambam tells me that it's Domina Umina, that we're going to say that it's Mitami Bekadasha. Why would it be different over here than it is in all the rest of Shas? So three basic answers. One answer the Chasdei David says is, even though the Rambam's general Shita is Domina Vuki Basra, when there's a Hochacha in the Inyan itself that we should be Mashve the Lamed to the Malamed, when there's something that tells us, there's an indicator that the that which is the lamad should be the same as the malamed, that which we're learning from should be the same as that which we're learning to, like in our sugya where it has svara nota, it's more logical that we should compare tumas magov shechvazera to tumas magov esheretz, because tumas ri'ia is a totally different kind of tuma. It's a tuma yotzei lav migufo. Tumas magov esheretz is much closer to conceptually to tumas magov shechvazera. It's that you're touching something tamei and therefore becoming tamei from it. So it's much more logical to say don mina umina. When does Ram say don mina vuki basra? That's when there's no logic one way or the other, when it could go either way. But over here it's much more logical to say don mina umina. Second answer, the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, the author of Aruch Lener, Chelik Aleph, Simon Lamed Ches, is mitaritz as follows. That it's only when where there's a machlokas about a gezeirah shava, that's where the Rambam says that the halacha is domina v'uki ba'asra. Because a gezeirah shava does not have the koach to be mashveh the lamed to the malamed completely, to say that the lamed and the malamed are exactly on the same page. It only has the koach to be koveya that a certain detail, a certain basic halacha, applies to both places, but not to apply all of the details to both places. So when it comes to gezeirah shava, the Rambam is going to say domina v'uki ba'asra. But when it comes to a hekish, the Rambam holds that a hekish is stronger than a gzeirah shava. When it comes to a hekish, it's as if the entire inyan was written by the malamed and the lamed both. Meaning domino mino, we consider it as if that everything that it says by the malamed, it says by the lamed, and therefore when it comes to the shir shechvazer, it's metame, since it's learnt out from a hekish, since the din is learnt out from a hekish from sheretz, so we can certainly be koveya that it's domino mino, even in regards to the details, even in regards to the shir. Third answer, the chak nasan Menachos Kuv Zayin Amar Aleph suggests that only when we learn a specific detail, the Rambam says the Allah of Domino V'Uki Ba'asra. And aside from that prat that we learn, we don't learn from the Malamed anything else. But when the entire din comes from the Malamed, meaning when we're using the other Parsha, not just to teach us a detail within a din, but to teach us an entire din, then we're going to say Domino Mina, you take the whole thing, you take the entire, all the details as well. It's only, Rambam only says Domino Vuki Basra when the basic din we already know, but we're only learning a specific detail from the Malamed. Those are the three approaches dealing with the Rambam. Okay, new Mishnah, the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel and Beis at the Mishnah. Tino, now we're going to discuss at different ages in a child's progression, child's maturation process, what halachos begin to apply to them. So Tinokas Bas Yom Echad Metame Benida. A baby girl, even if she's just born today, she's already Metame Benida if blood comes out of her. Bas Yud Yomim Metame Beziva. After 10 days, she could already become a Zav Gadola, meaning day one she becomes a Nida, so she's Tame for 7 days. And then the Yimei Ziva begins. So by the third of the Yimei Ziva, she already can become a Zava Gadola. Tinok ben Yom Echad, a one-day-old baby boy, has the following halachos. Metame b'ziva, he could become a zav. Umetame b'negayim, he can get saras. Umetame b'tmei meis, he can, if he dies, he's metame as a dead body, as any other dead body is metame. Now, it's important when we say Tinok ben Yom Echad, we're saying that there are two chidushim saying Tinok ben Yom Echad, that it doesn't take any longer, he doesn't need to be more mature for these halachos to take effect. But the other chidush is that it doesn't apply any earlier than Ben Yom Echad, meaning it doesn't apply in utero. So apparently none of these halachos are true if we're talking about an ubar. They're only true about a tinok Ben Yom Echad. So metame b'meis, v'zokek liyibum, he can cause a requirement of yibum if he's born one day before his brother dies. So by the time his brother dies, he's already born, so his brother's wife is going to need yibum on his account because he exists. But if he was born after his brother dies, his brother's wife will not need Yibum. Even if he's born just 5 minutes after his brother dies, the Gemara is going to darsh him because the Pasuk by Yibum says, Ki yeshvu achdim yachdav, that the brothers live together, meaning that they have to be in this world at the same time. Upoter mina Yibum, he can also exempt from Yibum. If he's born after his father dies, still he can exempt his mother from requiring Yibum. Normally a woman only needs Yibum if her husband died without any children. So what if her husband dies and leaves her pregnant? So as long as he's born after the father dies, even if he's born after the father dies, he could pater his mother from Yibum. Umachu betruma, if let's say a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, and then the Kohen dies, but she has a one-day-old baby from the Kohen, so that mother is allowed to eat truma. Uposel mena truma, and you can also passel somebody from eating truma, and the Rashi understands that the way the Gemara is going to approach this line is we're going to assume it's talking about a Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael dies, and he leaves a son who's one day old. That the existence of that son passels the mother from being able to eat truma. Normally, a Kohenes marries a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael dies, and they have no children. She goes back lebeis aviha, and when she goes back lebeis aviha, so kinura beis aviha, she can eat truma again. But if she has a child from that Yisrael, that passels her from eating truma. The problem with that understanding, as the Gemara is going to point out, is that he doesn't need to be ben yom echad to passel from truma. Even if she was just pregnant with a child, that alone would passel from truma. Even if she loses the pregnancy, even if she never gives birth to the child, the fact that she's not like she was when she went into the marriage, she had some major event that occurred, so that's going to passel her from eating truma anyway. Now, if you look at Tosos, the bottom of Tosos, Matame b'negayim, Tosos says, Mishum de b'negayim ksiv ish o isha, ubetumas meis nami ksiv v'ish asher yitma v'lo yischata, so isra krabul rabuye. We're going to need psukim to teach us these dinim, because we have the word ish by them, so ish would make us think that it's only by a gadol, not by a tinok ben yom echad. So we're going to need ribuyim to teach us that even a tinok ben yom echad. Tosfos is highlighting what I mentioned before, that there are two chidushim in each line of this mishnah. Number one, that it doesn't, you don't have to wait till later till these dinim apply, and number two, that they can't apply any earlier than yom echad. Avalinian zokik liyibum poter mena yibum machlu truma loksiv ish. It doesn't say ish, so why do I even need a pasuk tell me any of these things? Oh, we don't need a pasuk tell me that you don't have to wait for it to happen. You need the pasuk only to tell me that it can't happen any earlier, that it can't happen to an ubar, that this tumah doesn't apply to an ubar. That's the whole necessity of the pasuk. Okay, so vayter in the mishnah v'nochel umanchil. We'll see what that means in tomorrow's daf, I believe. Today's daf v'horgo chayiv. And someone who is if someone kills this fetus, he's going to be chayiv for taking a life. Harei lav liim al chol krov of kachasan shalim. And the child to his mother and father is like a chasan shalim. So let's start with the end of the mission in terms of explaining. Chasan shalim. Chasan is a weird name for a one-day-old baby. Chasan normally is someone who's getting married. So what all the achronim essentially say, the same basic idea, that there is a full din of avelus when a one-day-old baby dies, and that's what it means kachasan shalim. The same way one would be misabel over a chasan who dies on his wedding day is the same way one is supposed to be misabel on a one-day-old baby. That's what we're saying, is that it has full dinim of avelus. Tos Yantif, however, adds another important twist to the understanding of Chasan Shalom. Tos Yantif, over here on this Mishnah, points out that we call him a chassan based on the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim, the Aflam and Beis Amar Aleph, tells us that a tinok that's nima l'shmona is called a chassan. That a baby that has a bris milah on the eighth day is referred to as a chassan on the day of his bris. And the Rush explains over there, sha'al shem shemechassan also b'mitzvah rishona nikra chassan. He's having his chassana with his first mitzvah. He's experiencing his first mitzvah, and therefore he's called the chassan. So in order to, so it's teaching us that the chiyuv to be misabel on a tinok that dies on his on the day of his birth is like the chiyuv to be misabel on a tinok that already had a mila before he died, and that's why we call him a chassan shalem. So to tell us that he's ki'ilu, not ki'ilu a chassan that's getting married, but ki'ilu a chassan chassan bris. Ki'ilu he already had his bris. This is based similarly. He adds the Torah writes in Yerodei Asim Reish Samach Gimel in the name of Rav Nachshon Gon that Tinokos that dies prior to Shmona Yamim, the minig is, and we do this, the minig is to mal them before the kvura. This is what they do. They mal the dead body before the kvura, and that's the and again that highlights to us that the chiyuv of avelus of a tinok of that tinok is the same. That's not nimal is the same of a chiyuv of avelus of a tinok that dies after his mila. It has the same chiyuv of avelus. Good. That's one thing. Just going back in the Mishnah a little bit, we said that he's mitame b'tmei meis, that a tinok ben yom echad that dies has tumas mace. So it sounds like only if he's tinok ben yom echad, but not if he's an ubar. And that's what the Meiri says, that an ubar that's been mei imo is not mekabel tumah mei ola mace, meaning metame mace not only means that if he dies, he's metame other things, but it also means that he can contract tumas mace. So that's what the Meiri writes. Yeah, an ubar mei imo could certainly not contract tumas mace. He could be an ola mace, and he's yoshev beis starim, so he's not metame at all. And that's what the Magen Avraham says explicitly on the side Shulchan Aruch and Archaim Shin Mem Gimel Siv Gimel. However, Magen Avraham quotes from a Rokeach, very famous line of the Magen Avraham B'Shem the Rokeach, that if you have an Eishas Kohen who's pregnant, the wife of a Kohen is pregnant, is she allowed to go into an Ol Ames? Says the Rokeach, yes. Why? So you expect him to say, because there's no tumah that can be transmitted to the baby. Says the Rokeach, Svek Sveka. Maybe the baby won't make it. Maybe he's only a Nefel. He's never really going to be a Ben Kayama, and therefore there would be no problem if he's only a Nefel. And even if he makes it to be a Ben Kayama, maybe it's not a he. Maybe it's a she. And therefore, there's no problem with Tumas Meis. You have a Svek Sveka, and that's why the Eishes Kohen is allowed to go into the Oel Ames. And the Radak says the same thing by Eishes Manoach, that the mother of Shimshon was warned by the Malach not to be Matami herself the entire day, the entire the span of her pregnancy with Mago and Masa, because it's going to affect the baby. What do you mean, because it's going to affect the baby? The baby is Balua, the baby is completely inside of her. How is it going to affect the baby? So this Rokeach, this Radak by Yeshus Manoach and Shoft and Perikid Gimel Pasuk Dalin, they both seem to indicate that there's some sort of tuma that can affect the child. So Rav Shachter has a piece in Be'ikve Atzon where he discusses airplane travel for Kohanim, and he develops the following Yisod. The basic idea is that the Isser of Tumas Kohanim is not an Isser of tuma per se, it's an Isser of Hiskarvus Lemes. And Hiskarvus Lemes is not governed by the same dinim that tuma is governed. There are some kulas and some chumras in the fact that the iser is the gedra iser is iskarvus lemes and not tumas mes. For instance, let's say a person is already tamei mes. So is he really being mosif tuma al tumaso if on the same day that he already is tamei lemes he touches another mes? It doesn't even send him back. If it's the same day that he was already, that he already became tamei lemes, it doesn't even set his procedure of being matar himself back. Yet it's machlokas, Rambam Raivit, whether a kohen is allowed to do that. So these pashas says he's not allowed to become tamei to a mes even on the same day he already became tamei to a mes. Why not? So it could be that it's based on this idea that because it's an issue of a scarvus lemes. We have halacha that a kohen is not allowed to be in the same room as a goses. A goses is an emes. He's not a dead body yet, but he can't be metame to a goses. Not metame. His scarvus lemes. He's closely encountering death. So maybe that's the din that we have over here as well. That the idea of the fetus, of the Kohen fetus, it's not Tumah. The Kohen can't contract Tumah while being in an Ola Mace when he's in utero. This is Tumah Balua. It can't possibly be Tumah. But what is it? It's a Scarvus Lemace. So So maybe that's the nekuda that all of these achronim are working with. Rav Shachter points this out, that Rav Chaim Moser says like this, and Rav Elchanan says like this, that that there is this inyan of iskaris lemeis. So he wants to say, perhaps we could say it lukula as well, that maybe that when a kohen is in an airplane, and there's they fly over a cemetery down below, so you don't have to track all the flight patterns to see if you're going to fly over a cemetery or anywhere along the route, or you're not going to fly over a cemetery, because you're so removed from the tumah. Even though midine tumah, it should be metame you, because the airplane is metal kli, and therefore it doesn't serve as an oel, and the whole thing should become tame, and everyone inside should become tame. So midine tumah should be metame you, but maybe that's not the gedar isser. The gedar isser is his skarvus lemeis. So midine skarvus lemeis, it's not metame the person. Okay, there's a lot more to say on the Mishnah. We got to do some Gemara. So says the Gemara in two lines from the top. Mem dal and ralf minani mili. How do I know that this is true? About the ben bas yom echad is ready mitamid the tan rabbanon isha in the elisha bas yom echad nida minayin. How do I know that even a bas yom echad could become a nida? Tamalomar vi isha. From the extra vav, we derive that even a bas yom echad, bas yud yom laziva, minani mili. Where do I know that a 10-day-old girl can already become a zavah gadola? To tan rabban isha, ein li ela isha, bas yud yom laziva minayin. I would only know that about a woman. How do I know bas yud yom, someone who's only 10 days old, that she could already become a zavah? Tamalomar vi isha. Tinok ben yom echad, a one-day-old baby, one-day-old boy. We said all these halachas about a one-day-old boy. So minani mi lead the Torah Rabbanon ish ish matam lomer ish ish l'rabos ben yom echad shemitam b'ziva div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi says we learn from ish ish that a ben yom echad could be metame b'ziva. That even as a one-day-old child, he could already be metamei beziva. Rabbi Shmuel b'no, shal Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka omer, eino tzarech. No, you don't need such a drasha. Harei omer, vazov ezovo lazachar v'lanekeva. Lazachar kolshu ben gadol ben katan. Lanekeva kolshi ben gadol ben katana. Just because it phrases it as zachar nekeva, not as ish or isha, it says azov ezovo, whether male or female. So a baby male is a male also, and a baby female is a female also. And therefore, all these halachos apply to people of any age. Imkein matam lomer ish ish. So then, why does it say double lashon of ish ish? Dibra Torah Kalashim Le'adam. You have this concept that comes up in several places in Shas, that Dibra Torah Kalashim Le'adam, that sometimes the Torah speaks the way people speak. And people sometimes, for emphasis, say a word twice. So that's what the Torah is doing over here as well. Umetame b'negayim. Second thing we said about a baby, one-day-old baby boy, is he can already be metame b'negayim. How do I know that he can already have a neged saras and become tame? Dichsiv Adam ki yihiya ba'or b'saro. It says Adam, doesn't say ish. Adam kol shehu. So we darshan any sort of Adam. It doesn't have to be an Adam of any given age. Umetame b'tmei meis, and he can become tame with tmei meis. Tchsiv val hanefashos asher hayusham. Nefesh koldehu. That implies that nefesh koldehu, any sort of nefesh, meaning even if it's a baby nefesh, even if it's a very young nefesh, he could still be metame b'tmei meis. Vizokik liyibum, he could require yibum for his sister-in-law if he's born after his brother is, before his brother dies, even just a day before his brother dies, his sister-in-law will need yibum on his account. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, ki yeshvu achim yachtav, that when do you have a requirement of yibum? Pasuk says, ki yeshvu achim yachtav, umeis achad mehem, uben ein lo, lo si yesh sameis achutza, lish zar, yivam yavo ala, lukach ala lish av yibma. Right, that's the whole din of yibum, is right there in that pasuk. And it starts out by saying that yeshvu achim yachtav, achim shayilam yeshiva achas ba'olam. So we see from there that it's got to be brothers who lived in this world at the same time. Upoter mina yibum, he can also pater from yibum, and this again is talking about if he's born after his father dies, and he just lives even for a moment, he's a ben yom echad, he just makes it out into this world, even for a moment, even if he dies shortly thereafter, his mother will not require yibum. However, if his mother miscarries him and he never comes out alive into this world, then his mother will still require yibum. So uben ein lo amarachmanav ha'islay, because the pasuk says uben ein lo, and this guy did have a ben once, and therefore his wife would not require yibum. Umachil betruma, the baby can be machil betruma. Again, if his father was a kohen and his mother was a bas Yisrael, and his father died, so the fact that he exists will allow his mother to eat truma. Dichsiv yilid beso heim yochlu belachmo. Kari be yachilu belachmo. So we learn not only can a yilid beso, someone born from a kohen, eat his lechem of truma, he could be machil his lechem of truma to his mother. By his existence, could allow his mother to eat the truma. Uposel min ha-truma, he could also pasel from truma. So this was the difficult line. We said pasha pshat is talking about a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael dies, so the existence of a baby will stop his bas kohen mother from being able to eat truma. V'zera ein la amrachmana v'isla, because when can the mother eat truma if she doesn't have any children and she goes back to her father? This house, but over here she does have a child. So frak the Gemara, but my area is Zera, afilu uber nami, dechsiv kinura, pratlam uberes. Even if he was just an uber, it should stop his mother from eating truma, because it says that she goes back to her father's house, kinureha, the same way she was before she got married, but now she's pregnant, so it's not the same way she was before she got married, and therefore she should not be allowed to eat truma even earlier, even before he's a tinok ben yom echad. So says Mar Tzrichi, dikas rachmana v'zera ein la. I need two pasukim. I need a pasuk of kinureha, and I need a pasuk of zera ein la. So now what shifted now is we're not answering the question on the Tana of why we dafka said ben yom echad is pasuk of truma. Now we're asking the question on psukim, meaning why do I need two psukim to tell me that if something changed vis-a-vis pregnancy, childbirth, in that arena, that she's not able to go back and eat her father's truma? We have one pasuk of kinureha and one pasuk of zera einla. So says Mar, you need both psukim. Dikas rachman of zera einla mishum demei karachad gufa vashta tre gufi. Originally she was one guf. If she has zera, if she has a child, now she's two bodies. She's herself and her child. But I would think if she's just pregnant, it's still one body. Ubar yarechimo, and ubar is just a part of the mother's body, so I would think she could still eat truma. So kas rachmana kinura, that's why I need kinura. Vikas rachmana kinura, and had it said kinura, mishum to make karu gufa srika vashu gufa malia, I would say kinura, yeah, because previous her body's gone through such a major change. She used to be an empty body, now she's a full body. She's got another person inside of her. Maybe that's why she can't eat truma. Aval hacha, but maybe if she has a child that's already outside into the world, so her body is the same as it was, so the meikaru gufa srika vashu gufa srika metechel, I might think that she should be allowed to eat truma. Tzricha, that's why I need both psukim. Says the Gemara, great, you answered the psukim, you didn't answer our kasha though. Our kasha was, why did the Mishnah say that dafka tinok ben yom echad will stop his mother from eating the truma of her father's house, even if he's an ubar, it stops his mother from eating the truma of her father's house? You just explained why we need psukim that tell me about both situations. But why does the Mishnah highlight only tinok ben yom echad? So kroy itrutz, el masnisin, mayir ben yom echad afilu uber nami. Why does the Mishnah seem to imply that only ben yom echad will prevent his mother from eating the truma of her father's house, even if he's an ubar, it would prevent the mother from eating the truma of the father's house? Amar Rav Sheshes, hachem haskinan, v'koin sheishal shtei nashim. Achas grusha, v'achas sheina grusha. Now we're dealing with a case of the following. Kohen has two wives. One of them is a grusha, so it's asura to him, and one of them is not a grusha. Kohen marries a grusha, any child is going to be a chalal. A Kohen marries a non-grusha, a regular woman, so the child is going to be a Kohen, just like a father, it's going to be fine. So I was just at a simcha recently, and someone said, see that kid, that's a chalal, the father married a grusha. And so, okay, very nice. So I don't know if we should go around announcing, maybe we should be Farsi, whatever. So achas grusha, v'achas sheina grusha. So Kohen is married to two wives, someone's a grusha, someone's not a grusha. And the Kohen has children from the regular woman, from the one that's not a grusha. V'yeshlo ben yom echad min a grusha, and he has a 1-day-old baby from the grusha. Deposel ba'avdei aviv milechel betruma. He will passel his father's avadim from being able to eat truma. Ula afukim mit Rabbi Yossi damar uber nami posel. And this is as opposed to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who holds that an ubar also passels. Kamash malon ben yom echad in ubar lo. Then no, only ben yom echad will passel the father's avadim from being able to eat truma. The mother in a chinami, right? That we even an uber would passel a mother from going back to eating the truma for father's house. We're not dealing with that case. We're not dealing with a Yisrael man married to a Bas Kohen. We're changing the entire case. We're saying we're dealing with a Kohen who's married to a girl who's a Grusha, and we're discussing whether the Avadim can eat Truma. That's what it means, Machl B'Truma, or Post. posel min atruma? Can he pasel the avodim from eating truma? So that he can only do if he's a ben yom echad, not if he's a an ubar. Only if he's a ben yom echad. Fine. We then said a ben yom echad can also be nochel umanchil. So nochel miman. Who does he inherit from? May aviv. He inherits from his father. Umanchil liman. Who can he bequeath to? La achiv may aviv, to his brothers from his father's side. So ibay me avu alirti, ibay min alirti. Says Gemara, why does that help? He's going to bequeath to his brothers from his father's side, meaning that when he dies as a ben yom echad, so his brothers will share his inheritance. And let's say he can't bequeath. So if he would never existed, his brothers would also share that chelik of the inheritance because it just belongs to the father. So they would share it anyway. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. Ibay me avu liyati, ibay min liyati. What difference does it make whether he exists or not? There's no ramification for this halacha. So the Gemara is going to have how many answers? I think two answers to this question. So answer number one, Amrav Sheshes, nochel b'nichse ha'em lahanchil la'achiv mena'av. He can get his mother's, he can inherit his mother's inheritance to be manchil to his brothers from his father's side who don't share the same mother. So they would not get that inheritance otherwise unless it goes through him. So that's why it matters. V'davka ben yom echad av ubar lo. But that only works if he's a ben yom echad. It does not work if he's an ubar. My taima, to whom I inspiration, ve'ena ben yoreshes es imo bekever. Because lahanchil achiv mina'av. He dies first, and therefore, meaning if he's an ubar, he's dying before the mother dies. Meaning even if the mother dies during pregnancy, we're assuming that he dies first, that when the mother dies, the baby dies first. So therefore, Bekever, when he's already dead, he can't be nochel from the mother and then share that inheritance with his brothers from his father's side. So frankly, Aini, is that really true that he dies first? There was once an episode that happened in Maisa Shahaya, and the baby was jumping around Tlas Perchusi for three jumps inside the mother after the mother was way dead. So you see that that she dies first, the mother dies first. So Amar Mar Bered Ravashi Midadavi Azan Hatam Demefarcheses. Nah, the jumping around doesn't mean life. It's not necessarily a sign of life. The tail of a weasel, when it's cut off, also jumps around. Take a head off of a chicken, it also jumps around. It's not a sign of life, that's just nerves or whatever, it's just jumping around. Fine. So says the Gemara, second possibility. And this second answer as to, again, the question was, what's the point of having the child ben yom echad? Anyway, the brothers are going to get the same Yerusha because they're going to get it from the father if they don't get it from the brother. So this second answer doubles as the first in a series of three statements that Mar Bered Rav Yosef makes. So the first statement he makes is an answer to this question, then he makes two other important statements. So Mar Bered Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava Amar Lomar Shemimait Bechelek Bechora. It teaches me that it could be Mimait Bechelek Bechora. Yeah, the other brothers would get it, but how do they divide it? If they're getting it from the father, so the Bechor will get Pishnayim of what the other brothers get. If they're getting it from their brother, then the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. Then the Bechor gets the same as everybody else gets from the brother. That's what Rashi explains. Masnisin Dektani Nochel Manchil Lomar Shemimait Bechelek Bechora Kigonim Haya Ben Yom Echad Kishemes Aviv. This one day old baby has an older brother who's a bechor, another older brother who's a regular pashut. Umeis hu achar aviv, and he dies after his father dies. Nochel hu me aviv, he can yarshin his father as chilek revi'i sheben chasim, one quarter of the nechasim, because the bechor gets two quarters, gets one half. The other pashut gets one quarter, and he gets one quarter, and that one quarter then gets divided evenly between his two brothers, which otherwise would not have happened. Otherwise, that one quarter would have been divided with his Bechor brother getting twice as much. That's one statement of Mar Bered Rav Yosef. Statement number two, Vamar Mar Bered Rav Yosef, Mishmei Derava, Ben Shenolad Achar Misas Ha'av, Eino Memait Bechelek Bechora. A son that's born after his father dies is not going to be Memait the Chelek Bechora. He doesn't take away the Chelek Bechora, meaning the Bechora is decided, the Chelek Bechora is decided at the death of the father. So even though the mother was pregnant at that time, that son will not take away the Chelek Bechora. My time, well, why not? Why do we say Ben Yom Echad is Memait, but an Uber is not Memait? V'yoldu lo be'inon. It says V'yoldu lo, and this is not Yoldu lo, null because when the father's dead, when the baby's born, the father's already dead. So it was never nullad to the father. In Pamadisa, we had a third statement of Marbred Rav Yosef, meaning a different statement. That Am Marbred Rav Yosef, Mishmei Derava, Bechor Shenolad, Biachar Misa Saviv, Eino Notal Pishnayim. Let's say you have a Bechor that's born after his father dies, he doesn't get Pishnayim from the other brothers. Well, wait a second. How are there other brothers if he's being born after his father is dead? So says Rashi, two possibilities. Either he's a twin and he's the first one out, so the second one, he's not going to get Pishnayim over his twin brother, or the father had two wives, he impregnated two women, so he's the first one to be born, and then the father dies with two women being pregnant. So two wives being pregnant. So you could have a Bechor, you could have a Pashut. So the Chiddush from Rabbi Rav Yosef is that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. My taima, Yakir be inon vahaleka. You need the father to have at one point known who this kid was, to have recognized him, and you don't have that. Bilchsa kalani lishni demar bered Rav Yosef mishmei derava. And we pass on like all of these various lashonos demar bered Rav Yosef in the name of Rava. We pass on like all three statements that he says about that shemait bechelik bechora, and that ben shenol racher misav is not shemait bechelik bechora, and that the bechor that's born after misav doesn't get a chelik bechora. Fine. We said someone who kills a one-day-old baby is chayiv. How do I know that? It says anyone who kills kol nefesh. So kol nefesh includes anybody. He's considered like a chasan shalim. By the way, kol nefesh. That implies, not just implies, it's almost explicit that an ubar is not kol nefesh. Right, that one. So one is not chayiv misa for killing an ubar. So why is it called pikuach nefesh when there's a threat to a pregnancy? If the ubar is not a nefesh, meaning if killing an ubar is not killing a life, and you're not chayiv misa because it's not kol nefesh. Right, if we're going to take that at face value, which is what it sounds like from the Mishnah, then why is it called pikuach nefesh to save an ubar's life? Why are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save an ubar's life? So the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran, that whole school of Rishonim, say that an Ubar is not Bechal Nefesh, still you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, because the Heter of Pikuach Nefesh, it's Noeg and all mitzvos, is different than Chol Shabbos. The reason you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a life is based on what the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Daf Pehei Amud Aleph. Chalel Olav Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmar Shabbos Asharbei. Whenever you have that Svara, that being Mechal one Shabbos will allow for the observance of many other Shabbosos, so even though it may not be a nefesh that you're saving, but it does have the potential to keep many Shabbosos in the future, and that alone is grounds to be mechal Shabbos to save the life. We darshan, the Gemara darshans it from Vishamru Bnei Yisrael to Shabbos la sosas Shabbos l'darosam, meaning you're only chayev to be shomer Shabbos to the extent that it's going to allow for shmir Shabbos l'darosam. But if it's not going to allow for shmir Shabbos l'darosam, then don't be Shomer Shabbos now, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, Kedei Sheyishmar Shabbos Asharbeis. That's why the Ramban allows to be Mechal Shabbos to save an Ubar, even when the mother's life is not threatened at all. It's only the baby's life that's being threatened. And even prior to 40 days into the pregnancy, even at the earliest stages in the pregnancy, you can be Mechal Shabbos to save an Ubar. That's how the Ramban explains this halacha. Okay, so we said, the last thing that we said in the Mishnah is, Arei Lav Elima L'chol Krov V'Chas V'Shalim, that he has Din of V'Chas V'Shalim. L'mayi Hilchasa, Amra Papa Li'inyin Avelus, in regards to Avelus, Keman, Delokrim Shimon Gamliel, Damar Kol Shah, Shalshim Yom Vod, Menu Nefel, Halosha, Safik Avi. Rishon Gamliel says that only if it survives 30 days do we know that it's not a nefel. Less than that, it's considered a suffix. So says Marlo Hachmai Skina and Dekimle Shekal Lo Chadashav. Maybe we're even going like Rishon Gamliel over here. We're dealing with a case where we know that it was a full term pregnancy. We know that the baby is not a nefel. It's Kimle that it's called Lo Chadashav. So Tosis points out that the implication is that if we weren't Kimle, if we weren't certain that it was called Lo Chadashav, we'd have a din of a suffix. And in the case of Nafal Menagag or Achlo Ari, that would be a case where it's a suffix, right? Where you don't know that it's called a lochadashav. Meaning it died not just by dying of natural causes. It died, it got hit by a truck, it got eaten by a lion, it got something like that. The baby died before 30 days. So we don't know if it was called a lochadashav or not. We don't know what could have happened. But if he was Piekumes, if he died of natural causes, then even the Rabbanim would agree that it's a Nefel. That's the implication of this Gemara. Then everyone would agree that it's really a Nefel. So Frektosos, if that's the case, what's the Svar from Shem Gamliel? If we're talking about a baby that dies from some sort of accident, so there's no Reyesa, why shouldn't you be Misabel on such a baby? Why shouldn't we assume Rove babies are B'nai Kayama, Go Basa Rove? Why should we assume a Reyesa that doesn't exist? There is no Reyesa. There's nothing to suggest that this baby was anything but a Bar Kayama. And Rove babies are Bar Kayama. So says Tosos, Yeshlomer de Nefelin have imiut eshkiach. V'dovera hovahu l'kach l'chmir chachamim. That in regards to the Nefel, we consider, I'm sorry, the idea of a Nefel, even though it's a miut, but it's a mira matzui. It's a very common miut, and therefore it's worth being choshish for l'chumra, that miut. And Tosfos toward the end of that Tosfos has another kasha. It says over here it says the belosha sveka avavein misabel love umasechas machstan savik achiv savik enu achiv misabel love. Over here we say that if the baby doesn't survive 30 days, what is it? It's a suffix whether it was a real person. So what do? Do avelus anyway. Don't do avelus. Enu misabel love. In misechas machus we say, let's say you don't know who you, if this guy is really your brother or not. It's a suffix whether he's really your brother. Should he be misabel on him when he dies? Says the Mishnah in Smachos, yes, be misabel on him. So what is it? Are we misabel in suffix cases or are we not misabel in suffix cases? So Tos says that over there it's different. Because since he was definitely a bar kayama, if you're not misabel on him, people will think you're not misabel on a brother. Or you could say, no, the case over there was, he's a suffix whether he's my brother or the other guy's brother. So if both of us are makel, then for sure we're doing something wrong. So you can't be makel in both directions because someone's got to be misabel on him, so then we just got to be machmir in both directions. But when you have a suffix where it's not definite that anyone needs to be misabel on this person, he may not have been a bar kayama, so then we're makel with the suffix. Okay, let's read the Mishnah. Next stage of development for the baby. We last mission was about 1 day old. Now, Bashalosh Shanim V'Yomechon Miskadeshes B'Bia. Once she's 3 days old, she can already become Mekudeshes Al Yidei Bia. V'Imbala Yavam Kana. If she has a Yavam who's Boel her, the Yavam is Kona her with through the Bia, meaning the Bia counts as a real Bia. V'Chayavon Alei Mishum Eishes Ish. If she's married, the father was Mekabel Kiddushin on her behalf, and someone else sleeps with her, he's Chayav for sleeping with an Eishes Ish. Umetame is Boel al Tami Mishkov Tachton Kelion. She could be Metame her Boel to be Metame Mishkov Tachton Kelion, meaning it has a din of a Boel Nida. If she's a Nida, so it has a din of a Boel Nida. Well, wait a second. Didn't we say at the age of 1 day she already has a din of a Nida? So why are we saying only when she's 3 years old she could be Metame Boel al Tami Mishkov Tachton Kelion? So that's what Rashi points out. There's a chilik. A din of a Nida she has in terms of Tumas Maga, like a Nida, things that she touches become Tamei. But the din of Boel Nida will only apply not only when she's a Nida, you need another ingredient. You need the Bia to be called a Bia. It's not called a Bia until she's 3 years old. So yes, she's a Nida, but it's not Bias Nida until she's 3 years old. Nises the Kohen, Tochel B'Truma. 3 years old, she marries a Kohen, she's already allowed to eat Truma. Bala Echad Min HaPsulin, Pasul Min HaKuna. If someone who's Pasul, a Chalal, Nasan, a Mamzer, an Eved, a Goy, sleeps with her, that will Pasul her from Kuna. Bala Echad Mikol HaArayos HaMuros B'Torah, Mumsin Alev. One of the other Arayos that it says in the Torah is Boel her, so that Arayos is going to be Chayv Misa for sleeping with her, V'hi Petura, but she's going to get off the hook. Pachos Mikain cannot. Why she get off the hook? Why she putter? It's a real bia because she's not a bas onshin yet. She only becomes a bas onshin when she's 12 years old and she's bas mitzvah. So she's not yet a bas onshin. So she gets off the hook for any bia that happens at such a young age. This is the Mishnah's concept of statutory rape. That it's considered a rape. That it's not. Pitoy Kitana Onesu is the expression that Chazal used. That even if she says she agrees, she doesn't know what agrees means. She's a little girl. What does she know the difference? So it's considered an ones. Pachos mikain kenosin es b'vayin. But if she's less than 3 years old and one has tashmish with the girl, it's less than 3 years old, that doesn't count as bia at all. It's kenosin es b'vayin. It's like putting a finger in the eye where the eye tears, but then the tear replaces itself. So too the besulim is choser if she had bia prior to the age of 3 years old. Okay, so we'll pick up from the Gemara Mir Tashem tomorrow.